Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. This smart summaries title by Worth Books condenses and interprets Nancy Eisenberg's White Trash, a sweeping history of social class in America across roughly four centuries. Rather than treating class as an imported European concern or a minor subplot beneath race and politics, the book argues that class has been a persistent organizing force shaping settlement patterns, labor systems, public policy, and national myths. The summary highlights how poor and landless whites were labeled, managed, and often displaced from the colonial era onward, even as American identity celebrated opportunity and mobility. It also frames class as something produced by institutions such as land distribution rules, schooling, welfare programs, and political rhetoric, not merely by individual effort. As an analysis-driven overview, this edition aims to help readers grasp the core claims, major historical episodes, and contemporary implications, while pointing to the tensions between the American dream narrative and the lived realities of poverty, stigma, and exclusion. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, class as a foundational American story. A central theme is that class is not an occasional problem, but a continuous thread running through American development. The summary emphasizes how the nation's self-image often downplays class differences in favor of ideals like equality and self-reliance, yet governance and culture repeatedly relied on class categories. From the earliest colonial ventures, leaders distinguished between desirable settlers and those considered burdensome, using stereotypes about laziness, disorder, or dependency to justify control. The analysis shows how language and labels help naturalize hierarchy by making poverty seem like a moral failing rather than a structural condition. It also highlights how class intersected with region and economy, shaping who gained access to property, education, and political influence. By framing class as an organizing principle, the book's argument pushes readers to reinterpret familiar milestones in American history, including westward expansion, industrialization, and modern electoral politics, as processes that sorted people into tiers of value and belonging. The topic also underscores the importance of questioning myths of universal mobility and recognizing how long-standing assumptions about the poor influenced policy choices and public attitudes. Secondly, land, settlement, and the politics of dispossession. The summary foregrounds land as a primary mechanism through which class was built and maintained. In early America, access to land signaled independence and civic worth, while landlessness signaled dependence. The analysis traces how elites promoted settlement schemes that often treated poor whites as expendable labor, or as a population to be relocated, contained, or used as a buffer on frontiers. Expansion promised opportunity, but it also generated repeated cycles of displacement where the poorest were pushed to marginal land or unstable work. This topic highlights how property rules, speculation, and political favoritism shaped outcomes more than personal grit. The narrative suggests that the celebrated frontier story can obscure how frequently the benefits of expansion accrued to those with capital and connections, while poorer settlers absorb risk. It also notes the symbolic power of land ownership in American ideology. Those without property were often portrayed as lacking virtue, discipline, or intelligence, which helped justify exclusion from resources. Overall, the book's argument positions land policy as a long-running class project that influenced regional cultures, social stigma, and the geography of poverty. Thirdly, stereotypes, eugenics, and the invention of the undeserving poor. Another major topic is how cultural narratives about poor whites hardened into stereotypes that carried political consequences. The summary highlights a pattern of depicting the poor as biologically or morally inferior, a framing that appeared in different eras through pseudoscience, reform movements, and sensationalized journalism. The analysis explains that these stories were not merely insults. They rationalized policies aimed at surveillance, restriction, and forced assimilation into acceptable labor and family norms. By casting poverty as hereditary or self-inflicted, society could avoid confronting inequitable systems of schooling, wages, health, and housing. This topic also emphasizes how respectability was coded through speech, manners, and work types, turning cultural differences into markers of presumed incapacity. The book's wider point is that stigma functions like a social technology. It narrows empathy, narrows political coalitions, and encourages punitive solutions over structural ones. Understanding this history helps readers see how modern rhetoric about welfare, rural decline, and social disorder can echo older narratives, even when the economic forces driving insecurity are broader and more complex than individual behavior. Fourthly, labor systems and the discipline of working people. The summary connects class history to changing labor systems, showing how definitions of worthy work and respectable workers evolved with economic needs. From colonial servitude and tenant farming through industrial wage labor, the analysis describes recurring efforts to manage poor populations through discipline, moral reform, and coercive expectations about productivity. Work was framed as character building, while unemployment or underemployment was treated as evidence of personal deficiency, even when downturns and structural shifts were the true causes. The topic stresses that labor markets did not merely reward effort, they were shaped by power, policy, and the availability of land or alternative livelihoods. As industries rose and fell, communities that lacked capital or political leverage were more vulnerable to exploitation and abandonment. The book's argument also notes how class status was reinforced by institutions that sorted people early, including schooling and local governance, creating paths towards stable employment for some and precarious work for others. This lens helps explain why class resentment can persist across generations. When work is unstable and dignity is questioned, politics becomes a battleground for recognition as much as for income. Lastly, politics, populism, and the myth of classlessness. The final topic focuses on how American politics has repeatedly used class narratives while denying that class exists as a formal system. The summary highlights how leaders appealed to the common man while simultaneously marginalizing groups labeled as shiftless, backward, or dependent. The analysis suggests that political rhetoric often offers symbolic inclusion without material investment, channeling frustration toward cultural targets rather than toward structural reforms. This theme also explores how regional identity and moral language have been used to explain poverty, making it easier to blame communities rather than address policy choices related to taxation, infrastructure, education, and labor protections. The book's perspective encourages readers to see populism as complex. It can challenge elite power, but it can also be steered by stereotypes that divide potential allies. By tracing these patterns historically, the topic provides a framework for interpreting contemporary debates about rural America, deindustrialization, and the social safety net. The broader claim is that acknowledging class openly and understanding its historical construction is necessary for more honest civic dialogue and more effective solutions than those built on blame or nostalgia. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a historically grounded way to think about class in the United States, including students, general nonfiction readers, and anyone trying to make sense of today's cultural and political polarization. It will also appeal to readers interested in how policy, land, labor, and public narratives shaped opportunity over generations. The main benefit is perspective. By framing poverty and stigma as outcomes of institutions and long-running assumptions, the book can help readers move beyond simplistic explanations that reduce inequality to personal virtue or failure. That shift can improve how one evaluates news, political claims, and even family or community histories, making space for empathy alongside accountability. Compared with many books on American inequality that concentrate on recent decades or focus primarily on economic data, this work stands out for its long timeline and its emphasis on how stereotypes become tools of governance. The Smart Summaries format adds value for buyers who want the essential arguments and implications in a streamlined, analysis-forward package, making it a practical entry point before committing to longer, more detailed studies. If you would like to support Worth Books, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.